It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Authorities are now saying up to 4,000 gallons of crude oil has spilled as a result of the train derailment in Vandergrift yesterday. But all of it was contained in a parking lot. Westmoreland County public safety officials say the derailment of 21 cars was reported shortly before 8 a.m. on a Norfolk Southern rail line between Vandergrift and East Vandergrift. No injuries were reported. I'm joined now in studio by reporter Reed Frazier of the Allegheny Front, who's been to the site of the accident and filed reports for NPR as well as 90.5 WESA. He joins me now in Studio A. Good day, Reed.
Hi, Paul.
Where was this train headed?
Well, it was coming from Canada and headed to an asphalt plant in southern New Jersey near Philadelphia. So it was carrying, heavy crude oil from Canada, possibly from the Alberta tar sands area.
And what did it hit when it derailed? What happened after it derailed? What did it hit?
It hit a metals finishing plant, kind of one of these big industrial buildings. The rail line there hugs the river, the Kiska-Minidus River, and goes around this big industrial kind of steel plant-looking size building. And it hit, I believe, a corner of the plant near some machinery. No one was hurt. But afterwards, you could see from a hilltop right above it, you could see these rail cars just splayed around the ground, kind of like a, you know, those toy train sets that kids have. And when they sort of come off the tracks and the rail cars are all kind of lying on the ground akimbo, that's kind of what it looked like.
And there were 21 cars. And what were they carrying in addition to oil?
Well, there's about 120 cars in the whole train altogether. Some of them were carrying food products and soda ash. But a lot of them were carrying crude oil, and some were carrying propane, liquid propane.
Public safety officials say that none of the oil was spilled or that was spilled went into waterways or ground areas. And you mentioned the river's right there by the track. So where did all this oil go?
Well, the Department of Environmental Protection says that most of it went onto this parking lot for the MSI Industries, the company, the manufacturer. And luckily, it was cold. There was snow on the ground, and this was really thick, heavy crude, and it basically congealed on the snow. And the workers there that were on the scene were able to scoop a lot of it up with shovels, because it was so cold and it was just very viscous. So it wasn't like, you know, picture gasoline. It was more like a bunch of goop on the ground. That they were able to kind of contain quickly so it didn't run into a storm drain or down an embankment and into the river.
Now, despite the official report that the oil was contained on this parking lot, what guarantee does the public have that the oil did not seep into waterways or ground areas?
That's a very good question. So the way it's explained to me was the contractor for the railroad company will come and, you know, scoop up all the surface oil. Some of the oil got onto surrounding soil, so they will dig that soil out, and they have to submit soil tests to the DEP, the Department of Environmental Protection, that show that they've gone past the point where any contamination occurred. And just judging by the tone from the folks at the DEP, it doesn't sound like this is, you know, again, we don't know, but it doesn't sound like this is some, you know, huge. It seems like it'll be contained.
All indications are that the public is safe, but we really won't know, evidently, until this testing is done. Talking with Reed Frazier, who is a reporter for the Allegheny Front and who has been covering the story of the train derailment in Vandergrift, which led to the derailment of 21 cars on the train out of over 100, and the spilling of up to 4,000 gallons of crude oil, which we're being told was contained on a parking lot. And there hopefully will be no adverse environmental effects. No one was injured. The building that the train hit, however, was damaged. They're going to have to do some kind of testing on that building before they can say that it's safe for employees to go back in there, correct?
That's pretty likely, and I understand that some of the machinery was pretty well smacked by the impact of the train. So,
and when you know, there people have a visual image that they get from the shots of these, as you described it, the train cars splayed akimbo across and off of the tracks, but the sound is more indicative of the violent impact that occurs with a derailment like this. What were the residents telling you about what they heard yesterday morning?
Yeah, it sounded, it's, you know, so this rail line is in this steep hollow surrounding the Kiski River, and it sounded, a lot of people described it as a kind of like a garbage truck rumbling down a hill, the sort of bang, 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 and just sort of immediately a lot of people kind of knew intuitively that it had something to do with the train cars.
More and more oil is being transported by train through our area. Why are we seeing this increase, first of all?
Well, it's got to do with fracking. The U.S. is undergoing, as a lot of people know, a huge fracking boom, and we're online to become the largest producer of crude oil in the world by next year, which a few years ago was sort of unthinkable. A lot of this oil is coming from North Dakota in the Bakken Formation. And there are simply not enough pipelines in the Bakken to take all the oil from where it's coming from to where it's going to, mostly refineries, and in this case, an asphalt plant. So in the meantime, without pipeline, the industry's shipping it all, a lot of it, about 10% of the total crude produced on rails. I just dug up some stats. It's about 700,000 gallons, 700,000 barrels a day, and that's equivalent, is getting shipped on rails, and that's equivalent roughly to what spilled in the Exxon Valdez. So roughly that amount is being shipped on rails every day. There have been a number of high-profile explosive accidents involving this Bakken crude that has really set kind of the regulators to think about whether or not they need to enact some stronger protections for rail safety with crude.
Well, what are they looking at? What are safety officials and what is the public calling for in the wake of this latest in a series of rail accidents involving crude oil transport?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, you know, crude oil is classified differently than, say, a really hazardous chemical. We ship a lot of chemicals on barge and rail every day in the U.S., but those are in very specialized, more puncture-proof containers for obvious reasons. But crude isn't necessarily shipped in those very strong containers. There are calls to make shippers use stronger steel and to have it undergo same safety protocols as, say, a really hazardous chemical. Whenever a rail company is shipping something hazardous, they'll set up a kind of a routing system that'll try to keep these chemicals away from populated areas. So people, you know, in the federal regulatory system, because there's a lot of agencies involved, are calling for these kinds of protocols.
In the meantime, how concerned should we be when you do the math about the chances that we're going to see more derailments in high population areas until they reconfigure how this is done? You're seeing more oil and other hazardous chemicals being shipped. There's more traffic on the rails. There is more wear and tear on the rails. And in many cases, you're talking about crumbling infrastructure, tracks that have been there for years and years that may not be able to handle the weight, the speed. Are they going to adjust, maybe create new speed limits? You know, what other things might we see in the future, or what are people saying we need to have?
Well, it stands to reason that all these things that you just mentioned are potential avenues for addressing any kind of rail safety problems. So, you know, I think one thing that we're bound to see from, you know, since there are are more and more of these accidents. You know, in Philadelphia, I believe it was last month or December, there was a derailment on a bridge, and mm-hmm. a bunch of oil cars were sort of dangling over the bridge in this sort of horrifying image that a lot of people saw. You know, I think one thing that's going to come out of this is people who are proponents of pipelines like the Keystone XL pipeline are going to say, look, you know, this oil's coming out of the Bakken. It's coming out of the tar sands or the oil sands in Alberta. This is just going to happen when we have them on the rails.
But is it any safer with a pipeline? The Keystone XL pipeline, for example, they're talking about how it will go over the Oglala Aquifer, which is a huge supply of fresh water. You know, what are the risks of contaminating that if you do build the pipeline?
Good point, Paul. You know, I don't really have an answer for that. There are spills in pipelines that and the problem with the pipeline is there could be a spill and you just, you know, wouldn't see it for a long time. And that's kind of what has happened in some of the bigger pipeline spills lately. So, you know, we use a lot of oil in this country. We have a lot of oil. We're making more of it. This is just kind of one of the prices that we're paying right now.
And we're just about out of time, but how will this accident be investigated?
Yeah, so the Federal Railroad Administration, which is part of the Department of Transportation, is sending its team out to investigate. The National Transportation Safety Board is another team, and there will undoubtedly be other federal agencies that are interested in what they find.
Reed Frazier, reporter for the Allegheny Front, who's been covering the train derailment in Vandergrift. Reed, great thanks.
Thanks, Paul.
Coming up, could a bill passed by the state Senate be a model for the nation when it comes to prohibiting revenge porn? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.